Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to share with you today the vision of every home for Christ. And I'd like to start off by asking this question. How many of you are on your way to heaven? Are you on your way to heaven? How many of you plan on taking a lot of people with you? You want to take a lot of people with you? Well, I'm going to share with you a vision that allowed me and my wife and our family to take a lot of people with us to heaven. Because of the work of Every Home for Christ and what it means is just incredible, and we'll just share that with you. How many people have ever heard of Every Home for Christ before you received that pamphlet today? How many of you have ever heard of Every Home for Christ? That's what I thought. How many of you have heard of Dick Eastman? Have you heard of Dick Eastman? Something special happened with Dick Eastman's ministry because that was when you were called to the ministry, wasn't it? During a revival in Kenosha. Dick Eastman was the first youth pastor that we had in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's gone on to be now the international president of Every Home for Christ. And I'd like to just share with you a little bit about our vision and show you what's happening in this world today. Most people, when I tell them about Every Home for Christ and I share with them the ministry and they have an opportunity to see what it is, they're astounded to think that this much is going on and they don't know about it. But God is doing something. You know, he's on the march right now. He's about to change things in this world. He's coming back, and he's coming back soon. We can see it out there. I'd like to start off by just going and get some foundation to what we're doing. All of you know the Book of Matthew, and the 24th is one of my favorite because it talks, Jesus at this time is leaving the temple and the disciples are sitting there, and I'm going to paraphrase this because this is my version of it. And he's leaving the temple there, and the disciples are sitting there and they're admiring the beautiful building and everything. And Jesus turns to him and he says, not one stone of these buildings will be left on top of another. 35 years later, every stone was toppled down and it was totally destroyed. And he went on through the rest of the book and talked about wars and rumors of wars. And he talked about earthquakes and all the other things. And he said all these things that will continue to happen. They have been happening. But we're going to come to a time in place in history when these things start to take place at a more rapid place, at a more rapid pace. And we are starting to see this happen. And we're also starting to see it happen in what's happening around the world. In Matthew 24:14, Jesus tells us this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I'm here to tell you that the message is being preached to all nations of the world today. Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So I guess the question is, how do you go to all nations and every creature? All nations, every creature. A mentor of Dick once told him, he says, Dick, God's plans are always incredibly simple and unusually inexpensive. So if things get terribly complex and amazingly expensive, you may want to rethink whether it's God's plan after all. And I love what Eugene Peterson says in his unique paraphrase of Zechariah 2:13 in the message. He says, quiet everyone, shh, silence before God, something afoot in his holy house. He's on the move. And I'm here to tell you, he is on the move today. Go with our vision statement first of all. What is Every Home for Christ and what is our vision? First of all, our vision is serving the church to reach every home on earth with the gospel. And we're talking about every home. One of the unique things is the way we deliver the message. We planned, and several years ago, I had the privilege of going on a trip to a wonderful country. In fact, it's a museum. It's called Cuba. And if you're a car collector and if you ever want to collect some unique cars, that's the place when that opens up to go and get them. And we had the privilege of going there because we had been working there secretly for 2 years, and we had worked there through the Assemblies of God, was the organization that got us into Cuba. And we started our house-to-house campaign there. I went there after 2 years, and after 2 years, we spent 4 days there with our leadership in that country. And he took us around to several of the house churches and explained exactly how we went around, how they were going about it. And he took us to his war room. And in the war room, I guess I would call it, it was a large map of Cuba with all the cities on it broken down and all the streets and everything laid out there. And as they go through the country, they go house by house by house by house, not missing anybody, going up and down every streets. And if they miss something, they constantly are asking people, is there someone else around here that we need to see? While we were there after 2 years, I can tell you that through this ministry, at that time, we had already witnessed over 50,000 decisions for Christ. Isn't that incredible? And started over 200 Christ groups at that time. We're a parachurch organization. We work with all different types of people that are out, churches that are out there to win souls for Christ. Bringing the body of Christ together is one of the most important things that we're doing. Now, after a couple of years, we have a couple of years later, our reports came in that we now had over 500,000 decisions, written decisions for Christ, where we followed up with Bible studies and also started over 2,000 Christ groups. And what was so amazing, I have to tell you about this. One night we went to five different Christ groups, house groups. They just took us on a tour because we wanted to see what they were doing. And one of the places that we were in there, it couldn't have been more than 16 by 16, and it was a house church. And when we got in there, it was just shoulder to shoulder, and they were sitting there and hanging on the windows around with the windows up, or people, a group of people around there, maybe 3-4 deep, that were listening to the word of Christ. Just incredible. And to see these people worship God and the hunger, and to see the witch doctors and the prostitutes and the other people that have turned from what they were doing to Christ, it was just totally amazing. God is on the march, and he's doing many, many things. There are three unalterable convictions that we go by. The first conviction is the Great Commission must be taken literally. Without unity, the task is impossible. And prayer alone will assure that we can accomplish this. And I'd like to take you through each one of these in our as we go through this. Number one is the unalterable conviction is that the Great Commission must be taken literally. Jesus commanded us to go to all nations and every creature. Therefore, we follow the same plan as the early disciples used. They went home to home and in public places, proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Christ. And that you'll find in Acts 5:24 and Acts 20:20. So we are doing the same thing that God started when his church was started many years ago. House to house in every nation of the world. We have been in over 200 nations in this world where we have conducted these campaigns. We're currently active in 103 with another 15 that will be starting up very, very shortly. Unalterable number two is without unity, the task is impossible. Thus, the cooperation of the entire body is essential to fulfill his commission. Currently, we partner with more than 500 ministries and missions groups from around the world in different denominations. And I'll just name just a couple of them for you because, first of all, one of them is the Assemblies of God. I'm an Assembly of God person, been a member of Assembly of God for many, many years. And I had the privilege of getting on the board of Every Home for Christ about 9 years ago, and have seen the work, and was totally amazed to see the entire body of Christ coming together under this ministry and working as a team to get the job done. Because without unity, we're not going to do it. It isn't just up to us. It isn't just up to us who are Assemblies of God. It's the entire body of Christ. You know, I take a look at it, and I look at it like this. You know, a hand like this with five fingers separated, I could come up and slap you, and it wouldn't be much of a slap, would it? But if I drew this together and hit you with it, it becomes much more powerful. And that's what's happening. The body of Christ is coming together as a unit, and it's making a difference in the world today. Whole body of Christ working. Some of these groups, the Assemblies of God, the Baptist Bible Fellowship, Children Evangelist Fellowship, Christian Broadcasting Network, Free Will Baptist, Free Will, Friends of Turkey, just to name a few. And there are over 500 of them that we have been and are currently working with. It just makes a huge difference when you bring the entire body of Christ together. The third unalterable conviction is this. Prayer alone will remove all obstacles that stand in the way. How many of you know that's a difference? Boy, I walked in here this morning. And by the way, you need to change the name of this church. It's got to be called the Happy Church. I mean, you people are just exciting to be around and so happy and full of the Spirit. I just loved it. And so friendly. It's just, I feel so good up here. I feel like I'm a member of this church. It's just so good. And I can see that coming from your leadership. That's where it all starts. Just a friendly, warm person. But here's the thing. The essentials are this. This ministry is founded on prayer. Nothing happens that is not saturated with prayer first. We never go door to door without prayer, saturation, praying over the gospel, praying over the tracts that we're going to be delivering. Everything starts with prayer. Thus, therefore, prayer is the most important element of the entire campaign. The degree which prayer is mobilized will be the degree to which the world is evangelized. Our staff, the staff, prays daily for 1 hour for God's work in a nation. I wonder, you know, those of us that are business owners, I often thought about this, is what would happen, because our staff at 10 o'clock every morning, every day of the week, our staff comes together. Everybody stops work, they come together, they pray for a half an hour. Then at noon, at 2 o'clock, they come back together for another prayer session where they specifically pray for one country at that time. Can you imagine the power that's behind what's going on out there? Some of the other interesting things. The prayer room staff prays for 108 hours per week for the harvest. If you know Dick Eastman, if you've read any of his books, and I'll tell you how you can get a free book in a little while. But as you read his book, his whole thing, his whole ministry has been based around the prayer ministry and raising up an army of prayer warriors. So 108 hours a day, we have worship and prayer going on in our Jericho Center, which is our center, and then we have a room that is nothing but prayer for 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, and soon to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as we continue to expand that. EHA hosts a weekly two-hour prayer meeting for every nation on earth, where people from all walks of life come into a prayer meeting, and they're praying there. We've also started something new, and I have to tell you about this because this deals with youth, and I'm so happy to see all these young people sitting here. But something's happening in this world with the youth. Lou Engels is telling you, he's right over in Detroit today, and it's a bunch of youth getting over there praying because of what's going on around Detroit and the Muslim nation that's being created over there. But going right where it's at, he's taken youth, and youth are making a difference. We've started something that we call intercessory missionaries. And what is this? Young people in their 20s raise their own funds. They come, and for 6 months, we teach them how to pray for the nations. And then what they do is they go out on missions trips where all they do is go and pray for the people that are working out in the mission field. Intercessory missionaries. We are training now. We've got about 50 of them in training, and another group is going to be starting at the end of this year. And so we're going to be recycling this every 6 months. Another thing that's happening out there, how many of you have heard about these walls of prayer? You ever heard of a wall of prayer? You have heard of a wall of prayer. That's awesome. Good. A wall of prayer is this. Imagine this. Imagine what would happen in this community if you had prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A wall of prayer is this. There's 168 hours in a week, and 1 hour, 168 people dedicate 1 hour to prayer during that 24 hours, 7 days a week. And every time you complete that, that's called a wall of prayer. And it's something that's going on around this world. There are literally, in China, thousands of walls of prayer that are going on in China right now. There's walls of prayer going on in the United States, in England, Europe, all over the place, where literally tens of thousands of these walls of prayers are going on, 24/7, 365. Do you think that'll make a difference in what's happening out there? It gets to be so exciting when you think about it. I can give you an example, and that's one of the that happens with prayer. One of our teams was working, and we were just going through the Solomon Islands again. This was in the 1990s, early 1990s. And two of our missionaries from, two of our workers from Fiji went up to the Solomon Islands, and they trained a team of 30 workers, and they were working on the second largest island, and I think it's called Melaita, something like that. Anyway, they had just gone through the coastal area, and they were sitting around a fire at night and just praising God and thanking him for what had happened. And they were talking about, is there any other place on this island that we have not been to? And they started to talk, and one of the workers said, well, up here in the mountains are tribes. There are people back there that nobody goes back there because of their ferociousness. They have killed several years before that Catholic priests that went to minister to him. A medical missionary and his son were killed when they tried to go back up and minister to him. And several other groups that had tried to go in there, they were all killed. And they were all talking about it, but these people had been known to be cannibals at that time. How many of you think that you may not want to go back there? Well, they talked about it, and then they talked to some of the people of the local villages that had been saved recently, and they talked, and they discovered that there were probably 87 different things that they need to pray against. Demons and things that were going on here. For seven days, they started to pray 24 hours a day for 7 days. And then they chose 12 of the group of 30 to go back in there, and then they broke these groups down into two. Well, two of them started to walk through. And they started in the morning, and about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they wandered into a village. And when they wandered into this village, they could tell at that time that there were more people in this village than would normally be there. And so they went up. They were, first of all, surrounded by warriors from them, and they were taken to these chiefs that had gathered there, because the chief of that village, a very old man, lay dying and was just about to die. So they asked, talked to him, and they told him that they were from the God that created everything, and they had a message that they wanted to give to the chief. And this group of warriors said, no, you can't do that. We're not going to allow you to do that. And so they took him and they put him into a hut. And they kept him there for hours, and they listened to these people as they were talking, and they spoke the whole night. And then finally in the morning, they voted again, and they decided to let him go and talk to this chief that was dying. He was over 100 years old. And they walked in, and they talked to this chief, and they wanted to give him, they said, well, we can pray because our God can heal him. But when they got in there, they felt that God wanted them to present to him the gospel message. And they presented the gospel message to him, and he said, I have been waiting all my life. I knew there was something out there. I knew someone would come along eventually and tell me about this God that created everything. And they prayed. He prayed the prayer of salvation and accepted Christ. And the other chiefs from the other surrounding villages came in there, and they looked at him, and they could tell that something had happened to this chief. And as they went on, the chiefs allowed these two workers to go back and to leave and to go on with their mission trip. The chief laid back down, and 2 hours later, he died. And so they sent and they went and looked for the workers that had been there, but couldn't find them. The chief lay there, and they planned his funeral all day long. At 5 o'clock that night, about 8 hours later, the chief suddenly got up and stood up. And he walked over to them, and obviously startled everybody. And he walked over to them, and he said, I have just been to the most beautiful place I've ever seen. He says, I've been with people, I don't even know what their names are, but they told me. And he says, I was watching them worship this Jesus that these men had told me about. And he says, I want you to go find those men now and bring them back. And so they went, and they found them this time, and they brought them back. And when he brought them back, he says, now I want you to listen, all of you to listen, because this is where we all want to go. This is where the God that created this universe is. And he led the entire village to Christ that night. Over 300 people came to Christ that night. The chief went back in and laid down in the bed and went permanently to sleep and died again. But God, in his infinite mercy, took him to heaven, showed him brought them back, said, you must go back. You must tell your people about this. And a revival started in that area. Do you think prayer works?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just absolutely incredible how it works. The late Dr. Bill Bright, I think most of you have heard of Bill Bright, Campus Crusade, said this. He said, if God were to give me miraculous, superhuman strength to go to every family on earth and preach for an hour about Jesus, or if, on the other hand, he permitted me to take a clear printed message of salvation to every family on earth, there is no question I would choose the latter. And he's got a great ministry. He's a friend. We work with him, had worked with him when he was alive. Taking the gospel in printed form has lasting value. Can't tell you about the number of times we hear of somebody putting the gospel on the shelf and then years later pulling it off the shelf by accident and then reading it in a time of trouble and then becoming a Christian and giving their life to Christ. Dr. Billy Graham said this, I have become convinced that one of the greatest needs in the ministry enterprise is to scatter the gospel by the printed page in every part of the world, something that is central to the work of every home for Christ. Let me show you what's happening out there, because what's happening is accelerating at a pace that is just outstanding. Do you know there's more people coming to Christ today than the net population of the world? Does that tell you something? It's happening at a pace. Let's take a look at it. The harvest is accelerating. Daily average in the year 2000, we had 4 Christ groups planted each day. Those are our small church. And over 2,000 people responded to the gospel each day. Over 2,000 a day. And that's over 700,000 people a year. And we were just rejoicing. Over 700,000 people had accepted Christ. And we were training pastors. And things were happening out there that we didn't know about. In the year 2010, there were 68 Christ groups planted each day. Over 21,000. And 38,093 people responded to the gospel each day through this ministry. Is that something to praise God about? That is incredible. Let me tell you something even more incredible. Let me just show you the acceleration that's taking place out there. So far this year, the average is 42,000 decisions for Christ every day. And we're planning even more Christ groups. And we have programs now out there where we call BFAM, which is Be Fruitful and Multiply, where we're teaching them to go out in that. We have systems of training new pastors. As an example, I was telling your pastor, in China alone, we have over 18,000 video Bible schools going right now in that country. We have to, because what's happening there. They will have more Christians in China than the United States has people within the next couple of years. Can you imagine that? That's what's happening. And it's not just happening there. It's happening everywhere. It's going on like you wouldn't believe. Let's take a look at the acceleration. From 1953 to 2000, number of homes that we reached was 940,000 homes. Million, excuse me. Can you imagine going to 940 million homes? We do this. We have, right now, we're averaging 33,000 volunteers every month. That's what makes this ministry so unique and so incredible. We saw 27,700 million people come to Christ. And that was an average of 2.93 people coming to Christ. From the year 2001 to 2005, we reached 130 million homes, but we saw 17,500,000 people come to Christ. Suddenly, the percentage jumped to 13.45% of the homes that we delivered the gospel to. We got a return. And these are people that wrote, signed, said, I accepted Christ, sent it back to us, and we followed up with Bible studies. This is not, we don't know what the numbers, the exact numbers that we're involved in, but we do know the signature cards that we get, and we don't know about how many in the families are coming, but it's way beyond our imagination, I can tell you that. In the year 2006 to 2010, we visited 315,000 homes and 315 million homes, and 50.4 million people said, yes, I want Jesus in my life. Amazing what's happening. Look at the acceleration. I'll tell you a story about Sanjay. Was working in one of the I can't call it a village because it's a city of over a million people in North Africa. And he's a Muslim working in a Muslim community, and he's going from house to house saying, I got good news for you. Good news all Muslims want to hear good news. But the minute they see a tract that says Jesus Christ, they go berserk. And this young man was going from house to house. And he walked up to this house, knocked on the door, and he says, I got good news for you. And this young man in his mid-20s invited him into the house. And as he came into the house, he took the pamphlet and he started opening, he started to read it, and he saw that it started talking about Jesus Christ as being the Savior of the world. He immediately took it, tore it up, threw it in his face, told him if he didn't get out of there, he would kill him. That night, when he went to bed, suddenly, in the middle of the night, sound asleep, a voice speaks to him. You tore up the truth. Startled, he gets up and he turns on the light. And he looks all over and the voice speaks to him. Tomorrow, I want you to go get the truth. And he says, where are you? Who are you? And he gets up and searches around. And he thinks he's hallucinating. And finally, the voice speaks to him and it says to him, I want you to go to this address tomorrow morning and I want you to get the truth. That morning, when the sun rose, he got up. And he walked over to the address that was given to him, and he knocked on a door. And the EHC worker at that time opened the door, and when he opened the door, he looked into the face of this man that told him he was going to kill him. And he knows that that happens because we've lost people that way. And he looks into his face, and the man comes in and grabs him, and he says, give me the truth. I need another pamphlet. And he tells him the story of what happened that night. He said, a voice spoke to me in the night. I don't know who it was or where it came from. And spoke to me and said, I had to come and see you and get the truth. And in the next hour, he led him to Christ. He went and he told his parents about what had happened. His father was a rich businessman. And when he went and told his father looked at him and he said, you renounce that right now or I'm going to kill you. And he wouldn't do it. He says, no, I know this is the truth. And his father says, you are fired from your job. You worked at one of his companies. And he says, get out of here. I never want to see you again. And if it weren't for one of his sisters who told him, called him up and said, Father has hired an assassin to get rid of you. That he came to the EHC worker who took him 300 miles away into a safer city where our headquarters were. And for the next couple of months, he trained there and learned more about God and then became a disciple and a follower of Jesus. You think God works? He's working in this world like you wouldn't believe. In the Muslim world today, there's over 16,000 decisions happening in just the Muslim world today. And how are they coming? Through visions and dreams. Many of them will tell us, we had a dream last night, and we saw this man in a white robe, and he came and said, I am the Son of God. I am the true God. And then they want to search and they want to find out who is this true God. And they have this opportunity. Is God working? Yeah. EHC Global Statistics, 1946 to present, we have reached 1.4 billion homes have been reached. Sounds like a big job. It is. And decisions response, 103 million. That was through June of this year. We passed 100 million disciples. Active Christ groups, there's 87,000. We've started over 190,000 Christ groups. Many of them have come together, now are full-blown churches, and we send them to churches anytime that we have the opportunity to get them in and where they can be discipled. Things are happening at an incredible, absolutely incredible pace today. In just the last couple days, just taking a look at it, we just celebrated, I should say not a couple days, but 2 months ago, we celebrated our 65th anniversary. And in the first 7 years of this, it was known as World Literature Crusade. And basically what they did was they stood at bus stations or wherever they could and just handed out the gospel. But realized every time Jack McAllister, who started this ministry, realized that as he's handing out the gospel, there's 10, 15 people that are going by and said, Lord, there's got to be a better way to do it. And 1953 is when they started the home-to-home campaign. This ministry has touched my heart, and you know, primarily because it's a simple way of getting things out. I can remember a couple of years ago, and maybe some of you had seen this film. I'm not the type of a guy that would probably go out on a mission field. That's not my calling. My calling has been to business. And there's a lot of you that's your calling. And my calling was to business. But I realized that when you have something, whatever we have, it all belongs to God. And so God, I kept saying, what can I do? I was taught from probably 10 years old or whenever I got an allowance, my parents gave me an allowance. Back then it was like maybe a quarter or something like that. That 10% of that belonged to God. I couldn't break that up, so I just gave a nickel. But my parents made sure that I tithe, that I tithe. And I can tell you that through my life, I've had some great times, made a lot of money, lost a lot of money too. But God has always been a God of restoration and has changed things. But he's taught me to give. And I always said, you know, what is my part in giving to this ministry? Because when Dick Eastman called me up one day and he said, you know what? He said, I got something I want you to pray about because I've been asked to become the international president of Every Home for Christ. And I said, oh, wow, what's that? What's in Every Home for Christ? He said, well, they take the gospel home to home. And I said, oh, explain that more to me. And he explained that more to me. And I became involved. And I said, oh, you mean for a dollar back, you know, 20 years ago, we could take it to five. Now $1 goes to three homes. We can take the message to the three homes. I said, wow, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to get involved in this. I really can't do a whole lot now, but I said, you know, I'm going to start sending you something every month. And I started with $40. And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to add $5 every month to that. And I did that for a year. And then I said, next year, I'm going to add $10 to that. And the next year, I said, I'm going to add $20 to that. And I said, I'm going to give even more than that if I can. And I got lumps of some, and I started pouring it into that. And God has allowed us, and my wife and I, to take the gospel to over 1 million homes so far. And I just think that's so awesome. And we've seen a couple hundred thousand people. I couldn't do that. That's not my calling. But you know what? We can all do it because of the way it's done. There's a film years ago, and maybe some of you have seen. How many of you have seen Schindler's List? Did you see that movie? And there's one scene in that movie, and I want to replay it because it's a scene at the end when this, if you go back and watch, this guy was really a character. I mean, you talk about an entrepreneur. This guy was an entrepreneur. And he figured out how to start a business by knowing what was happening to the Jews. So he went and got all their money, gave them and then took their money and bought this business and then gave them a job. And the money that he would have paid them, he paid to the soldiers, the German army, and gave them just enough money, you know, things to live on, food and stuff like that. But you could see, as you went through this film, you could see his heart changing from being, I have 350 people working, as he tells his wife, and you know what? They're making money for me. To at the end of the film, when he took all the money that he made and he started buying these lives back because they were starting to send them to the furnaces. And he bought back over 1,000 of them at that time. And now the war is coming to an end. And in this last scene, as you will see, one of the people that he bought back, they wanted to give him something as a memento of their appreciation because he had saved over 1,000 lives through his efforts. And as they made him a ring, and they took the ring, by the way, from gold teeth from one of the living there who sacrificed his teeth, and they melted it and made this ring, and they gave it to him. And he comes to the end here, and he's putting this ring on, and he comes to the end, and he realizes something. And I want you to watch this for just a second.
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Kurt would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. million people. 10 more people. There's been 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for it. At least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Person, Stan. For this. I could have got 1 more person. And I didn't. And I didn't.
When I saw that film years ago, it wouldn't leave me. That scene just stuck with me. And I kept saying, God, what is this? And I thought to myself, what could I do more? And it just encouraged me to do more and more and more and more. And I said to myself, Lord, if I could support this ministry by myself. And I remember Dick and I were on vacation once together, and we were walking along a beach, and I said, you know what, Dick? I said, I believe so much in what this ministry is today. I said, if I could support it myself, I would. But I discovered, as much as I tried it, I can't. That this needs to be a job done by the entire body. That's why I'm here today. I just wanted to share it with you. And I wanted to see if this could touch your heart too, and you could join me. Because I can't do it all on my own. And yet, as I stand there, and I talk to our regional directors, and I said to him, I said, man, we could do this in 3 years, another 100 million. And he looked at me and said, no, we could do it in a year. All we need is resources to do it. We got the people. We've got the method. We got the training. It's happening out there. So all we need to do is just give them that opportunity. I was, remember a story about a despondent Russian priest. And he drove off one day, and he drove off to a forest. And he got out of his car and started to walk into woods, not realizing it was right next to a military base. And as he was walking through the woods, just meditating and praying, suddenly he was confronted by a centurion. And he says, who are you? And why are you here? Startled, the priest looked up at him and he said, what did you say? Who are you? And why are you here? The priest looked at him again and he said, how much do you get paid? He says, what business is that yours? Because I'll pay you to come and say that to me every morning. Who are you and why are you here? And when I read that, I said, why am I here? I'm only here for one reason. We're passing through. And the next step is the kingdom. And we want to take as many people as we can when we can. I have 2 things, and then I'll turn it back over to the pastor. And I want to share with you. You were given... I left them on the seat down here, sir. 2 things that I have for you to share. One is this world prayer map. And if you got one of these, it'll help you to pray around the world. You want to know how to pray for every nation? If you open this up, there's 31 days with the nation next to it telling you how to pray for that nation. And so if you want to know how to pray for the world, this is what you do. Just hang this on your wall, and every day, walk up to it and spend a few minutes just walking through and praying for these different nations. This you can do every single day and pray for all the nations of the world, blessing and asking God to continue what he's doing in this world today. The second thing is an opportunity for you. I gave you this brochure, and it's called Reach 5000. And I want you to take a look at this now and just see how you can participate in what we're doing.
This is you. This is where you live. This is what you do. Maybe you're looking for the one. Maybe you've already found the one, and a few more besides. This is where you go to church. This is your pastor. He's talking about the Great Commission, where Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and make disciples. You hear Jesus' words, and you long to see him glorified in every nation. But when you think about your life, you just don't see what part you play in the bigger picture. But what would you do if you could reach just one person with the gospel? And what if it wasn't just one person, but many? What if someone told you that before this year ended, you would share the gospel with 5,000 people? Today, you have this opportunity. Here's how. This is Every Home for Christ. We go home to home with the gospel in over 100 nations using the same strategy as the early disciples so that every family may have a chance to know the gospel. In 65 years, we've reached over 1.4 billion homes and seen 100 million responses to Christ. Each dollar given enables us to reach three homes. The global average is four people in each home. That means that 12 people hear the gospel because of $1. A gift of $35 reaches 420 people per month. In 1 year, that same monthly gift will reach over 5,000 people. Your gift can change the world.
Spiritual darkness permeated every area of my life as a tribal witch doctor, but now my life is filled with the light of Christ.
I was a Hindu priest, lost in deep darkness, but now, despite persecution, I live to see others know the true hope of Jesus.
Because of Every Home for Christ, I'm free from my old life and now able to share the same freedom with others.
I used to be a Muslim imam, but through an EHC brother, I gave my life to Jesus.
What would it be like to hear the voices of 5,000 more? 5,000 who now have hope? 5,000 because of one person's gift. Yours. Reach 5,000 this year. Your hands, our feet.
This brochure then tells you a little bit about what you can do. It's $35 a month. People can give more if they'd like, but it can make a difference. I don't know about you, but I'm a person that likes crowds. I'm thinking one of these days when I reach that pearly gate, there's going to be some people waiting there and saying to me, thank you for being faithful and giving me the opportunity to hear about the gospel. Can't do it all by ourselves, but we can do it as a group. It's not impossible. Coming together, we can make a difference. Thank you for your time. Pastor, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.